Okay, good morning, everybody. I usually don't like to recycle shmooz, but this board is one of my favorite, so I think I'm going to recycle it as well. Recycle it again. I think it's already 2 years running. I'm sure many of you heard the famous Medrash from the Six Parshas. Medrash is a quote from Abba Kohen Bardala. Abba Kohen Bardala, on the Psukim of Ani Yosef HaOrevi Chai, so Abba Kohen Bardala says the following statement. He says, Oy lonu miyom ha-din, oy lonu miyom ha-tachacha. What was taught on the day of din? What was taught on the day of judgment? A day of rebuke. And it's referring to the judgment that we're going to go through after 120 from the days of Mashiach. And then it says, Yosef ketanan shel shvatim haya. Yosef is, of course, the youngest of the shvatim, excluding Binyamin. The Shvatim could not handle his rebuke. Right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and judges us according to who we are, all the more so. Now, much has been said about this, the Beis Halevi, of course, and others, and the general idea is that the brothers were claiming that they were so concerned about their father's welfare, they were so concerned about Yaakov's welfare. If Binyamin is taken from them, that he's gonna be ois mensch, as they say in Yiddish. He won't be able to cope. So Yosef says, one second, I'm Yosef. Is my father still alive? How come you're telling me all the reasons why I can't keep Binyamin? Because you're concerned about Yaakov's welfare. What are you talking about? Right? You didn't care about your father's welfare when you sent me away, when you sold me, when you threw me into the boar. Right? You have to introspect upon everything that you say, and we can find you with lies. And of course, people say over, that person's going to come to Hashem after 120, he's going to say, Hashem, I didn't have time to learn. Hashem's going to say, what do you mean? You had time to do X, Y, and Z. I didn't have money to give tzedakah. And Hashem's going to say, what are you talking about? You had money for X, Y, and Z. So that's the general understanding. And that's certainly a tremendous most important an idea that I'm sure many of you have heard before. But what Shalom Shvajran points out about this medrash is, in my opinion, such a tremendous life lesson. Tremendous. He says that the way Shalom Shadron, of course, he was a Maggid, and he had a tremendous way with words, and the way he expressed things and explained things. He said the following point. He said, imagine. Now, two things. First of all, you're reading Shnayim Mikra, and there's no Medrash. There's no Medrash. And what do you do? You read the Shnayim Mikra, you're like, whoa. Yosef puts one brother in jail, he puts the coast in the knapsack, and then Yehuda comes and he tries to fight for him. And then after 22 years, Yosef reveals himself to the brothers. Wow, what an amazing story. You're like, wow, that's so cool. I can't believe it. And all the different events that took place. And then 10 minutes later, you go on your merry way, and you continue to live life. That's what one would do if they're reading Shnayim Mikra without the Midrashim. And that's what something, let's say you were living during those times, and you're like, wow, that is the wildest thing. Did you hear what happened? Oh, there's a brother who became the viceroy of Egypt, and his brothers came to see him 22 years later, and they had sold him. What an amazing story. But that's not how Chazal learned the Torah. That's not how Chazal understand life. What happens? Abba Kohen Bardala looks at this mice and says, oh, let me take something from this. Let me take something that's going to inspire me. And what does he say? He sees what happens. Yosef explains to the brothers, what are you talking about? You're telling me all the sob story. Come on. What do you mean? I'm Yosef. Is my father still alive? And he says, he looks and he deeply understands the story and he takes a tremendous life lesson from it. He says of Shalom Shadron, that's the godless of Chazal. They don't just read the Torah. That's the godless of people who are growing people. I mean, people who are looking to grow in the avodas Hashem. They're not looking at the stories in and of themselves and distancing themselves from the actual story. They're living the story. Let me just quote the way he says it. Lo kin chazal hakadoshim. She'en manashim zarim. They're not strangers to the story of Yosef. They're not strangers to what's going on in the Torah. Ukshiro parshazu he gishu as mashir gishu hashvatim ba'isashah. They felt what the shvatim felt. They lived Torah. They didn't just observe it. They lived it. Umel yotzuv lomdo kavachomer. That's why they learned the kavachomer. It's not reading Torah as something that happens to strangers. They're taking it as a life lesson. It's like them. And they're not letting go of episodes in the Torah. Say, oh, that's a nice story. They're taking it with them as if they live the story, number one. And there's two points. Number one, they're living the Torah. And number two, they're taking lessons from it. And he gives two mashalim, the Shalom Shadron. Rishon Shmadron Zatzal says that he used to travel to America. That's actually how the whole Magid thing started, because he used to stay in Rabbi Kron's house, his parents' house. And in the old, I guess, in, back in the day, he didn't travel back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to America in a plane. He actually, I guess, in the earlier years, I imagine in the 40s, 50s, or 60s, he used to take a boat. And he one time took a boat from America back to Eretz Yisrael for a few weeks. And as he got close to the port, of course, I guess in those that you can imagine, you know, customs is pretty, could take a long time in the airport. Imagine what it was like with people getting off a boat, and obviously, the lack of technology took a long time. And everybody was waiting online, and there were soldiers there, and there was customs and the whole business. And all of a sudden, he noticed that at the corner of his eye, that there's a young boy who's pacing back and forth nervously. And then he notices that he screams out, "Ima, Ima!" And this woman's saying, "Moshe, Moshe!" from down below. And everybody is like teary-eyed. And it turned out that they had not seen each other in many decades since the Holocaust. And the mother was living in Eretz Yisrael, didn't know that he found, thought maybe that he was still alive. And after decades of not seeing each other, they reunited mamash in front of everybody. Everybody was teary-eyed. Everybody was like, mitragesh. So Rishon Lezion says, you know what? This is the most intense moment to actually see a mother and son, and they hugged and they cried, to see them reunite. But he said, you know what? Anybody who's not in it, anybody who's not part, not the mother or the son, in a few more minutes they'll forget about it. They'll go on, they'll move. But if you're the mother or the son, you'll never forget that moment. And he said, that's how Chazal lived the Torah. They live it. They're not just you know, spectators and don't take anything and don't live it. They live it. And that's why they come to Kav HaChomer. They see, oh, Yosef was saying this, Yehuda was saying this. And from that, they said, once you live it, you take a lesson from it. And then he goes on further. So one nekuda is that you're living the Torah. I think what he's also saying is that we're not just Yosef's not our stranger. He's our ancestor. We're Yosef. This is our family. They're not just a storybook. This is us, right? And I think I just thought of this now. If you would read, this is actually relates to something I said I think on last week. Let's say we had a story of one of our ancestors, our grandparent, that had a near-death experience, that mom survived. Let's say one of the amazing stories from the Holocaust is our grandparent. So we would feel like, wow, what a schus, we're alive. Our father, you know, our grandfather hid underneath the dead bodies and he survived the war. Like, we would feel invigorated. We'd feel so excited. That's I think what the Rishon Shadron is saying, Rabbi Kornbartel is saying, that Yosef is not just a biblical character, this is our ancestor. And I think that it means so much more to us. And I think that's what I'm saying about a near-death experience, something I thought about before the Shmooze last week, and I didn't say it. But I made the following calculation, that if, let's just say, if we ourselves had a near-death experience, I would like to think that our dedication to Hashem would be like, wow, we were given a new lease on life. And let's say I told you that your grandparent had this most miraculous story how they survived the Holocaust. I think it would mean something to you. I think it would do a little extra kick in your step of how you served Hashem. You know, I'm so lucky to be alive. You know why? Because either I had a near-death experience, my grandparent had a near-death experience. So I, for some reason, I made the following calculation. Somebody once told me, and so I don't know, I didn't know this until the person told me, but Avraham Avinu was born in the year 1948. Before, now, this is, so 5779 minus 1948 is about, I think it's about 3,800 years. So that means between us and Avraham Avinu is 3,800 years. Let's just imagine for the following, let's just, for argument's sake, let's say that each of our ancestors had the next ancestor, our great-great-great-grandparent, at the age of 25. Let's just assume, for argument's sake, okay, the average age was 25. Between us and Avraham Avinu is 153 generations. That means that, I'm not going to sit here and make all the greats, but we are direct descendants of Avraham Avinu. How many people between us and Avraham Avinu? Be'erech 153. That 153 of our descendants lived to the age of 25. Now, that's 3,800 years of survival of our direct descendants. So I ask you, if you think about life like that, there's no way in the world that the 153 descendants of ours, with all the pogroms, and of course the Holocaust, and diseases, that's like having a near-death experience. That means every single, for us to be here, since Avraham Avinu, 3,800 years of life was given to our ancestors. I'm just saying, I don't know, I got slightly off topic, but the point of the story was, is that Rabbi Kohen Bartolo lived Yosef. This is his ancestor. Right? He lived it. And that's why he was able to take out this he wasn't a stranger. He was able to take out a lesson. And us too. We shouldn't be like, oh wow, biblical character. No, this is our ancestor. This Yehuda is our ancestor. Again, I'm not sure, exactly sure which shape we come from. That's not the point. The point is that we're not bystanders. We're actually living it. That's number one. And number two, the second Nakuda, it's also very important that Shlomo Shadron brings out, is that he says that when he was in America one time, I guess whoever he was staying by went to the, it sounds like, most likely the Javits Center to the car show. The car show. So Shlomo Shadron, they asked him, Shlomo Shadron, would you like to come with us to the car show? He said, no, thank you, but come back and tell me what you see. And I'll tell you Mr. Haskell. So they came back, and they said there were thousands of people there checking out the cars, and it was an amazing thing. But there was one thing that stuck out, and they told us over to Rav Shlomo Shadron. And they said the following. They said that people were going around, I actually once went to the car show a few years ago with my family. Right, you go around, check out the cars for a few minutes. Oh, very nice. But he said there was one car that around it were like 10 people with notepads, and they were studying every facet of the car. Every facet of the car. And we heard that not only did they spend that entire day studying the car, but that's what they did the day before also. So Shlomo Shadron said it's posher. These people are in the car business, obviously, and they want to their car is inferior to this car. So they're studying this car to see how they can improve their own car. And that's the pshat. And he said that's what life is about. Life is about looking around. Who is wise? Somebody who learns from everybody. A person says he wants to grow, so he finds different sources, different stories, different experiences in his life to take to him, to inspire him, and to help him grow. Oh, I see this person is dominating like this. Okay, maybe I should dominate like that. This person learned like this. Okay, this person is being nice like this. And you go through life and you see stories, you see experiences, and you say, I can learn like that. The reason why these people were studying the car is because they wanted to improve their own car. That's what life's about. Abba Kohen Bartolo is looking at the story of Yosef and saying, oh wow, it's so nice. Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. I can't believe it. It's so beautiful. No, what can I take from this? How can I use this epic encounter and use it as a Musar Haskel, as a way of inspiring myself? And when I read this word a few years ago, I said, this is so true. Because when you think about it, how often do we hear a shir? I wanted to answer the following question. Rabbis always have stories. What's the pshat? They always have stories. Right? They went to the market, they went to the store somewhere, they drove the car, and they had a story. Oh, it doesn't only happen to them? No, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that when they look through life, they're trying, how can I glean a Musar Haskel from this? How can I glean from this? Oh, I saw somebody cut him off. Oh, it's so not nice. Or, I saw somebody let somebody cross the street. Well, it's so beautiful. It's such derech eretz. It's not just, you don't just live life. It's personal. So it's twofold. Number one, when you live the Torah and when you live life, and it's personal. So you have it has a personal slant to it. Number one. Number two, there's always forms of growth. And of course, if your head is in this, if you're thinking about sports all day, you think about the weather all day, you're just like, and spacing out all day. So of course you're gonna see stories and say, like, oh, that's a nice story. But it's never gonna drive home the points that a person can glean from all the experiences in life stories. And this medrash is unbelievable. Everybody speaks about this medrash. Abba Kohen Bartolo, it says in Shlomo Shadron, who gave us the medrash? Abba Kohen Bartolo, who learned the story and said, let me take a kavachomer. If the brothers couldn't handle being in front of Yosef, Allah has kama v'kama, how are we going to handle being in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu after 120? What an amazing lesson. But if he wouldn't have looked at this story deeply, we would never have this lesson. So, That's the word, and I think it's tremendous. And I think just you open your eyes and you're a thinking person, you're always trying to grow, so then you would look at life experiences in this way. I think I should say over the next story as well, even though we're almost close to the 15-minute mark. 2 years ago, on the way to the yeshiva, Paris Vigash, I heard the following story that I think brings out this point. It's an amazing story. The story goes as follows. The story goes that one night seder, a guy came to the base medrash, to his night kollel in Shari Chesed, in Yerushalayim. I imagine it was in Shari Chesed. And who was there? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And this gentleman walks in, and the gentleman says, Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Shlomo Zalman, I'm not sure if I benched. What should I do? So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, you don't need a bench. And the people who heard this were aghast. What? Benching is d'oraisa. Tchiv d'oraisa the bench. If you're not sure if you benched, everybody knows, suffik d'oraisa l'chumra. You have to bench again. So after night sitter, all the people in the call went to Rosh Hashanah, like, what's going on over here? Like, How can you paskin that a guy's not sure if he benched? How can you paskin a guy's not sure if he benched? Doesn't need a bench again. So Shlomo Zalman said the following two facts. He said, I know this person. And I can tell you the following two things. Number one, if he benched, there's no way he forgot that he benched. Because he benched with so much kavana, there's no way he forgot. And number two, if he actually ate, there's no way he got up from the table without benching. The only conclusion that I could come to is he's not sure if he ate. And sure enough, these guys went home to his house and they asked his wife, you know, did he eat? Where's the food? They went and they checked. And sure enough, the food was not eaten. So, what can you take from the story? Chacham Adav Minavi, Rav Shlomo Zalman, he's so smart. He chopped that this person didn't eat. He wasn't sure if he ate or not. Because if he ate, he for sure benched. And if he benched, he for sure remembered. So the only possibility, Chacham Adav Minavi, Rav Shlomo Zalman is so smart. You can take that point out of the story, but you can also say to yourself, when I bench, is it possible that I could forget if I benched or not? Right? If a person, we just passed through Hanukkah, okay? Person, oh, I'm not sure if I said Alan Isim or not. Did I say it? Did I not say it? Hold on a second. Did you think about remember to see Old Minyan Kohen got the Chashmon of Kasham and Malchus Yavon? Is it possible that if you actually concentrated through the Alanisim, you're not sure if you said Alanisim? I'm not sure if I said Yalav Yavo. Right? Chus v'chanenu v'rachem aleinu. Hashem, have mercy on us at the end of Yalav Yavo. If you actually concentrated in Yalav Yavo, is it possible you're not sure if you said Yalav Yavo or not? So. You can learn it. You can read that story. You can hear that story. You say, oh, wow. Shlomo Zalman is a genius. Wow. He's amazing. Or you can say, whoa. How do I say bracha? I'm not sure if I said Asher Yotzer. Well, question is, how do we say Asher Yotzer? The same thing is also true. And this is actually complicated, especially, you know, in my, you know, oftentimes I'm in the middle of dinner and then I help out with something else in the middle of dinner. So does the person get up from the table? You know, without benching. Of course, it's complicated. If you're going to continue and you're in the same house, etc. But there's such a musug as a human being that there's no way in the world he would get up without making without benching. There's no way in the world he'd forget. He wouldn't be sure if he benched. So again, it brings out the point. You can go through stories and you can say, oh, that's a nice story. Or you can take a story and you can internalize it. And that's what Avraham Barlow did. And that's, I think, a tremendous life lesson we can take through all of us. And Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to help us. He wants to give us opportunities for growth. The question is, are we opening up our eyes to glean forms, you know, different ways of inspiring ourselves to grow greater and greater? Have a great Shabbos.